I want to move into talking about who we are as a church. Today is what I call Vision Sunday. Last week was Missions Sunday. We're going to be doing this from now on, so we'll have to get used to it. But I think it's important that we know who we are and where we're going as a church. But I think more importantly, who we are and where we're going as godly people. I think that we always got to examine where we're at, where God wants us to go, and who He wants us to be. What's the next step? What's the next ground I need to conquer? Where is He taking me when I'm going from here to there? And I put this together and started working on this weeks ago. This is not something that I just came up with in the last couple days. This has been forthcoming for a long time, and I knew I was going to preach it today, and so I appreciate your attentiveness today. And some of you are saying, boy, I've heard this before, and you haven't. But I am going to do some review today because there are many people in our church today that were not here when my wife and I started officially a year and a half ago. And so I want to speak to them so they know who we are, what we believe, and where we're going as a church. But I want to do a little review. And in the last couple of months, I've preached a number of sermon series, and here's what they have been. In August, I preached about our comfort zones. You remember that? I fear a comfort zone in my life. I preached about the challenge of change. I preached about being all in. I preached about taking some new ground. Do you see the common theme here? Then I left town for a vacation and just started to pray about, God, where are we today and where are we in the future? I knew I was going to preach this when I came back, and I said, God, just lay this on my heart bigger and bolder. And that is today. See, God has a plan. God has a plan. And guess what, church? You and I are the plan. It is you and I. God has this huge plan for the world, and that plan involves me. And that plan involves you. Not only at a local church, but in your own personal life. God has a plan. And I went to God, I started asking God, God, you know, tell me more about how Jesus loved people. I want to make sure I'm loving people the way Jesus loved people. And I got a couple stories that He laid on my heart. Excuse me. And one of those stories was a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. You remember that story? He was so loved, right? He was the chief tax collector. We love tax collectors. We just, you know, I send the IRS Christmas cards every year. I just love them. Right? You too, right? He was such a loved guy. He was, the Bible says he was short in stature, right? He was not a tall guy. Growing up, my kids listened to the story about Zacchaeus being in the sycamore tree and Jesus passing by. And that all came back to me when I started thinking about this. And here comes Jesus walking along, and He sees this guy that is not the most well-liked guy up in a tree, right? And Jesus, you know, looked up there, and, you know, everyone would expect, you know, the crowd didn't expect Jesus to single him out. He didn't expect Jesus to say, hey, you're going to be my friend. You are my friend. But what did Jesus do? He calls him down and says, I think I'm going to go to dinner at your house tonight. That's really a tremendous amount of love, because Jesus didn't care that he was a tax collector. He didn't care. He just cared that he was a person. And He reached out to him and said, hey, I'm going to go have dinner with you tonight. Let's go hang out, just you and me. And that kind of speaks to me. And I remember the other story that is in the Word about the woman that was the adulterer. Completely different story. And the lady was brought before the people, getting ready to be stoned, because the law said if you are caught in adultery, I'm not sure how people caught you in adultery back then, but, you know, kind of ever look at that scripture and read it and really understand, someone caught her. But they bring her before the people, and they were going to stone her, because that's the law, you know, you're going to do this. And Jesus intercedes, because He loved her. See, Jesus didn't see the sin as much as he saw the person. And what was the words? Just go, don't stop, just stop, don't do this anymore. What love? I got to make sure, church, that that's me. And that I got to make sure, you want to make sure that's you, that we have that kind of love. We don't care about what the person is doing as much as the person, right? We have to learn to look beyond that and live like Jesus did and say, that's the filter I want to be looking at people in. I want to see them as Jesus sees them. And that's how Jesus saw them. And what was Jesus's vision when he was on earth? What was Jesus's passion? Always people. Looking beyond the sins of the people and looking at the person. Whether they're a tax collector or an adulterer, he just saw people. He didn't condone the sin, but he loved the person. And that's exactly what I want to make sure that I continue to do. I challenge you to continue to do that. Jesus's vision was just people. And I want to make sure that's my vision. Always my vision is people. I'll always talk about that. I'll always preach about it. We'll always have that around the church because that's what the church should do. Right? That's who we are. That's the vision of the church as a whole, the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to just do a little review. Some of this is new to you, the ones that came in the last year or two, and some of this is review to you. But I want to ask and talk about, what is the vision? What does that mean? And I'm going to go to the most common scripture that pastors use about vision. And that is in Proverbs 29:18. It just says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But what exactly does that mean? Well, the meaning of it is simple. Where there's no goal, people lose direction. They don't know what to do because there's no goal. There's nothing in front of them. And church, I'm going to tell you, churches have goals and visions. And your family should have goals and visions. They should have something that you're working for. If you have a family, a home that has no goal and vision, you're going to be kind of like lost. You have no direction. You say each year, you know, people have these New Year's resolutions. And this is what I'm going to do. But that's not vision. That's not vision. That's something you say you're going to do. But 9 times out of 10, we don't do it. Especially going to the gym, right? In Proverbs 29:18, in the Message version says it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Listen, it says, but when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. See, when God starts to give you this revelation and you start to attend to it, pay attention to it, then the Bible says the blessed favor of God shows up. That's what that means. So why are we doing like a Vision Sunday, which we'll do every year from now on? Why are we doing this? Because churches that have no vision are inward-focused people. If they have no vision, they're looking at what can I get out of church instead of what can I give to the kingdom. What can I do for people? What can I do for my community? When we don't have vision and we're not sure where we're going, we're kind of lost, as the scripture says. We want to be laser focused on exactly who we are today, but more importantly, where we're going to be tomorrow. And believe God to do that for us. Not only as a church, but as families, as people. And that's why we do. We don't want to become inwardly focused, because when you become inwardly focused, you say to yourself, it's more important about me than it is about somebody else. And we know that's anti-Bible. We know that's not what God wants. God wants us to say, what's this for the other person? He doesn't want us. He wants us to be, as believers, more focused on people than ourselves. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Right? So that's why we want to do this. And here's a scripture. And where's these visions come from? You hear about them all the time. Where do they come from? And I thought, well, here's the most powerful, one of the most powerful ones I know. Comes out of Acts 26:19. And Paul got a vision. God showed up and gave Paul a vision. Remember the story? Here's this guy that persecutes Christians on a road, and God shows up. Jesus shows up and gives him a mandate. He's having a conversation with King Agrippa, and he says, I was not disobedient to the visions I got from heaven. God gave me a mandate, and I'm not going to be disobedient to that. And Paul says, I was not disobedient to it. The visions come from heaven. True visions come from heaven. Always heaven made, never man made. And I walk into that and I say, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want us to be tomorrow? What does that look like? And some pastors get it right away, and other pastors really struggle and pray, and God, what is it? And if you would look at the things that go on in churches, we would say, boy, that can't be it. But we're not looking at the here and now, as I mentioned during our transition. We're looking at what God is doing and taking us to. And here's what a quote. It says, a mission is to reach people for Jesus, and the vision is to grow the kingdom of God. See, a mission is something short-term, usually, that's feeding your long-term vision, where you want to be in the future, where God is taking you as a family, as a church. You know, so we have these mission statements, and we're going to get to that in a second. This is who we are today. This is what we're doing. And here's the vision that God's laid ahead of us, and that mission's going to help us get there, is what that means. Calvary Church has the most important mission on earth. And I want to make sure we always act like it. The most important mission you could ever have, the most important mission that we have ever had birth in our souls, is the mission to reach people. There is no greater as a believer. No greater. So what is this overall Calvary mission and vision? Well, I revealed that and talked about that and started that in July of 2018. For those of you who are here, this will be review. But if you're new, this is what we talked about. We put together a mission to reach people that are far from God. We call this the Reach Ready Release mission. Reach people that are far from God. Find them. Reach them, get to them, connect with them, do whatever we have to do. And that's why, church, we do this. That's why we ask you to invite. Bring them into the house of God. Reach people away from God. And then we ready them. We help them learn and grow. More classes are coming, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, to help people continue to grow in their faith. We need teachers. We need people that have the gift of teaching. If that is you, step forward soon so we know who you are. And then we release the people. Reach, ready, release. We release them to do what? To go reach other people for Jesus. It is the mandate. It is the mission of the Bible. And that's what it is here. Reach, ready, release is how we do it. That's the mission. But why do we do it? What is the point? The point is so they live the story that you're living today if you're in Jesus. The reason you do it is to reach people to live a better story that you're living. My story today, church, is better than the story I lived before I knew Jesus. My story today is fulfilled because I know the creator of the heavens and the earth. For those that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you want to get to them so they can live a better story. Or a better life. And on our website, it talks about living that better life in power, passion, and purpose. But you know, church, it may not be easy. It may not be convenient. And a lot of times we may not understand. But the mandate from heaven is still to live a better story and allow God to speak to our hearts, to move us along, to help us understand things. Make things more convenient, but it's not always convenience, right? It's more about sacrifice, really. It's more about sacrificial giving, like you just did last Sunday. If you're not a part of that missions giving, you're missing out on the most supernatural thing I think we could do in the church, is to reach people through our missions giving. If you can't go physically throughout the United States for U.S. missions or foreign missions for global missions, but you can write a check every month to support someone called to do, like Sarah. Again, God just reacts supernaturally to that, and that's why we do it. But I want to make sure I continue to live that better story. And back in 2018, I laid out a few plans, a few points that I wanted to accomplish in 3 years. That we as a church wanted to accomplish. We wanted to relocate to the Family Life Center and have church next door. We are weeks away from that. We are weeks away from that. And you would say, Why do we have to do that? Why should we do that? Because I just have felt that God has said we have a big, beautiful building next door with a lot more amenities than we have here. Handicap bathrooms. Okay. You know, if you really want to know, you know, we don't have handicap bathrooms. But we have handicap bathrooms next door. And I just think we need to supply handicap bathrooms for those that are handicapped, not only here, but the future. I think they need handicapped bathrooms. And I just said, okay, well, we have handicapped bathrooms. That's one of the major things. Other things. We have a big, beautiful building next door that has things that we don't have here. It has a better heating and cooling system, let me tell you. As you go fan yourself during the service, you know, or you're hot during the summers and cold during the winters, you'll understand and appreciate it next door when the regulation of heat's so much better. Right? But we still have a good here. But there's things like that. But I wanted to relocate there. We are weeks away from doing that. I wanted to renovate the buildings and grounds around this campus. 5 acres of ground, the 2 buildings needed some updating. And guess what? As you move into each building, as you walk in here and you walk down the hall, that's exactly what we're doing. New carpet, the painting crew led by Robin and Jeannie and others had come in and done just a tremendous job, and guys are in the next building over doing a tremendous job and doing all these renovations, parking lot updates, new sign. We're going to continue to do that as the Lord blesses us with the ability to do that. Update the church brand. We've done that. Update our staff. We've done that. And I looked at this and I prayed. I said, God, we're doing it. It's happening. And then he says, well, wait. The biggest one is yet to come, and that's people. People. And he says it's the most important one. He told me to ready the facilities and ready the house for an influx of people. And we are doing that. And he reminded me these last few weeks of the impact of what we've already done. And I don't think I really let it digest in me sometimes, but I put it in the bulletin today, and I'm going to read it. This is what this church has done in 2019 to date, and let's read that together. If you have your bulletin, I won't have it on the screen behind me, but let's look at this. 28 adults in this church. Current attenders, those that came through our doors, accepted Christ as Savior for the first time. Yeah, somebody's got to get excited. If that doesn't excite you, 13 children accepted Jesus Christ for the first time. Your impact in this house saved souls. 12 adults rededicated their lives to Jesus Christ along with 8 children. Yes. We had 27 commitments for spiritual growth in the last year. And the year's not over. 27 people said, I've got to grow deeper in my faith. We had 4 water baptisms in frigid water. Let me tell you. Sandy, raise your hand. I mean, if you say, thank you there. Thank you, Randy. Raise your hand. That's cold, but I did it for Jesus. 4 of them stepped forward. We had children that day. We had a baptism in the Holy Spirit this past year. We had 34 commitments to continue a deeper walk with Christ. We had 30 people committed to get the sin out of their lives. Now that, somebody's got to say hallelujah. 15 committed not to quit on their spiritual journey. They were struggling with who they are in Jesus, but they came and they committed on a Sunday morning, I'm not going to quit. This is your impact, church. 17 people committed not to hold back on their spiritual journey. They felt that God was leading them to do something more, and they were holding back. They made a public confession on that Sunday, I will hold back no more, I'm going forward. And they committed. Remember that? They raised their hand, they came up front, and they said, I commit. They made a public confession. 25 committed to being all in for Jesus, whatever it takes. Pastor, whatever I've got to do, I'm going to be all in. 25 people made this public confession to say, I don't care what that looks like, I'm all in. You know who you are. And then the final statistic that I got to add just this past week, which I am still blown away, the 40% increase in our missions giving. That is an impact I have never seen in many churches, let alone a church of this size. I have not. You do the percentages of membership and attenders on a Sunday morning, and these numbers are staggering numbers. Staggering. Church, you're making an impact for the kingdom of Christ here at this church. Because you're standing up and you're saying, I see vision, I see God moving, and I'm going to move along with him. What's that look like for 2020? Calvary Church's vision for 2020. I'm calling us to be life changers. Pastor, we're already life changers, but I'm going to call us to be stretched beyond that and reach for higher ground. I'm going to ask, and I'm doing this in my own life. My wife and I are saying, what more can we do? What else can we do? God, tell me what else I can do. Pastor, aren't we doing enough? No, we're not. We're not doing enough. We have to stretch ourselves and move in bigger things and listen to the scripture that God gave me in Isaiah 54, 1 through 3. Get ready, church. Here's the country of Israel as they cry out, and Isaiah writes about them. And it goes like this. Sing, barren woman, that's Israel, barren, not producing, who has never had a baby, never produced a spiritual baby. See, the country of Israel, the state of Israel, Israel, God's people, is the precursor for our church today. Jewish church is the precursor to us today. You understand that? That's where we're at today. And Isaiah prophetically speaks of that. Fill the air with a song. You who have never experienced a childbirth, you're ending up far with far more children than any of those that had childbirth, childbearing woman. It's going to happen. God says so. Clear the lots. Now here's what the prophetic word he gave your pastor. Clear the lots of the ground for your tents. Make your tents large. And here it is. Spread out and think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing Calvary family. Yeah. See, what I am seeing is a building next door filled with people. And what some see today is a smaller building half filled with people. That's not what your pastor sees. That's not what God told me. God said, move over there and ready the tent, and I will fill it. And my wife and I are believing and walking in that. Dear, give me a shout. That's exactly what we're believing. Because God's revealed that we're going to do that. And we're going to relaunch Calvary Church next door. It might not look the same. It might not like feel the same. The bathrooms might be bigger. The space might be bigger. There might be coffee in the back of the room. For those who drink coffee. Right? And there might be donuts and cookies. God forbid there are donuts and cookies in the sanctuary. Right? Spread out and think big for the increase. See, here's what God was speaking through Isaiah. He is saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pound the stakes and build the tents and expand your horizons. Think big and massive because God's going to come in and fill it. You have to ready it. You have to ready the place. You have to ready the facility. You have to ready your hearts for the influx of people. And some of the people may come in that you may not like them. They may not be the kind that you hang around with. They may be the tax collectors. They may be the adulterers. They may be the greatest people of the community. It doesn't matter because God says, just go get people and bring them into the house. What's that look like? The intent of God has never changed. But if this growth is going to be explosive, people must be willing to be stretched. I watched our worship team be stretched. They got this little space. They can't really be stretched too much because there's not much room. But when we move next door and they got all this elbow room, I'm expecting for even bigger and greater things from our worship team. More people, more power, more passion, more purpose, more presentation. I'm believing. I'm believing for better messages from the pastor. I'm believing and will just waiting for some space to move around. Because if I fall off here, I kind of run around a lot. Don't I, dear? I need a bigger platform because I move a lot. As you see, I get antsy as I'm up here, and I'm going to have all this space. I'm not sure what to do with it all. I'm over there. I'm walking on top of the new platform. Think, wow, Lord, what we're going to do for heaven. And here's Calvary Church. What does this mean? Well, we will not realize our greatest potential unless we're stretched. You won't realize your greatest potential as a person unless God starts to stretch you. No, you won't realize it until you allow God to stretch you. Stretching and reaching for new things are faith-building blocks of life. Moving you from where you're at to where God wants you to be is a faith-building process. You can stay right where you're at and do nothing, and that's exactly where you'll be, right where you're at. Success occurs when we stretch and reach beyond our normal limits. Beyond the comfort zone, beyond where we're at, higher ground, 40% increase in missions, stretching, and believing. But most people avoid that process. They avoid being stretched. They avoid being reaching for new ground. They avoid the extending themselves beyond their normal capacity. And I'm asking you not to do that. I'm asking you to do it, to go further. How are we going to do that? Matthew 19:26 tells us very clearly how. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, what with men, this is absolutely impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things. It doesn't say only part things. It doesn't say just a little bit. It doesn't say a few things. It says all. Version after version after version, it says all things are possible. And I'll add, if you only believe, right? And what's that talking about? Well, you know the story. This rich young man comes up and says, you know, I've done all these things. I'm going to give you the little background of the story. Done all these things. I've done all this. What else can I do? And Jesus looked at this man and says, I want to stretch you farther. I want you to reach higher, is what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but if you look it up, that's what he says. And the rich man says, what is that? Sell everything you own, give it away, and follow me. That's some stretching, and that's some reaching. If God's calling you to do that today, that's some stretching, and that's some reaching. But see, Jesus knew that that's the stretching and reaching that that individual needed at that particular time. And so he spoke to him. What happened to that guy? What happened? He walked away very perplexed. Why? The Bible says he had great wealth. That's some stretching, church. We're not wealthy here, but we got stretched and reached higher with a 40% increase in missions. I'm going to say that for months because that is such a blessing. We can never reach God's potential if we remain comfortable. Every person that sits here today has been gifted with some type of heavenly gift. A blessing. Something that God's given you inside. Are you using that gift? Are you using that gift? Some of you have, you see the gifts up here. Some of us have gifts to build. They're over next door building. Some of us have better gifts to do other things. Not better, but you know what I'm saying. Different gifts to do other things. I'm asking if you have those gifts, some gifts that we don't know about, we want to hear from you. We want you to be stretched. We need teachers. I need a nursery administrator to run our nursery. Somebody's going to feel led to be stretched. We need teachers. Pastor, I'm just discouraged today. I'm really struggling. I've lost hope. I'm just not sure. And I'm going to tell you right now, if that's how you're feeling today, you just need to be stretched and to reach. Because barrenness is unfruitful. Barrenness is unfruitful, as the scripture I just read in Isaiah, it's unfruitful. But when you go out and start stretching and reaching for things that you don't have right now and you can't even see, but start to invoke the power of God and the Spirit starts to move, when you start to do those types of things, God shows up. Tell your friend right now and neighbors that you're going to be stretched. You're going to be stretched. I'm just going to ask you not to hold back. We are not useless. We're not going to be wasted. We're going to stretch and reach and stretch and reach and stretch and reach. Why? Because the Bible says to stretch and reach and stretch and reach and keep going. Out of the comfort zone. And how are we going to do that? Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. If you're stuck in a comfort zone today, if you're stuck in a routine, it is time to change. It's time. Life without the use of your God-given gift is like being in the cave without an exit. Life without the use of your God-given gift is like being in a cave without an exit. I just feel like there's people sitting here today that had God-given gifts and talents that are not being used for the kingdom, and I want to see you. Because it's the pastor's responsibility to help you walk in your gifts, talents, and callings. And your church needs you. Your church needs you. I made an appeal for weeks. I need life group leaders. And I'm making the appeal again. I need life group leaders. And I know they're here. Someone that says, I can host a group once a week, once every other week. I need leaders. I need leaders. Let's move on to 1 Chronicles 4:10, because here is the story that you may have heard a couple times. But I was in prayer and I said, God, give me something. Give me some more stretching and reaching. And I forgot about this one. Lord, forgive me. And he revealed it to me so fast because I asked. 1 Chronicles 4:10. You don't know much about this gentleman. In fact, Scripture doesn't even hardly talk about him at all. But all of a sudden, for this Sunday, at this point in time, on this date, at this church, God says, this is it. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Lord, bless me today. Lord, bless the church. Enlarge my territory. Lord, take us from this building to the next building, and not only enlarge our territory physically, Lord, enlarge my territory with more people. Not for the church locally, but for the church of Jesus Christ. Enlarge my territory that your hand would be with me and you. And that you would keep me from evil. Lord God, keep me from evil. And that I won't cause anyone pain. This is my prayer. Lord God, enlarge my territory. Let me be a blessing to Calvary Church. Let me be a blessing to the community. Lord, let me have it. And the Lord thy God granted his request. That's what I cry out today. That's what I want. See, Jabez was asking to be stretched and reach for higher ground. And he lays it out in front of the Lord thy God. Virtually no other scripture about this in the whole Bible. Or about Jabez. And at the end, God said, okay. Okay. And he granted his request. God's granting our requests. And I'm saying in 2020, I'm asking God to stretch us further to reach higher ground. That's what I want. Lord, I want to be a life changer. I want my life to be changed and challenged, but I want to be a life changer to reach somebody else. It says the measure of your life is not what you consume, but what you allow God to birth through you. We live to give. It is a principle that is woven in the foundation of creation. God, use me. I asked for 200 chairs because I'm believing for 200 people. If you know the vision I laid out in 2018, I'm believing for 300 people. But we'll add chairs. Pastor, why didn't you ask for 300 people? We'll see if the people here at Calvary Church respond, 200. And then we'll add more. What is a life changer? Pastor, you've been talking about this life changer. Here's a life changer. It's not your ability that counts the most. It's not my ability. It's not your ability. But it is your willingness to be stretched beyond your normal capacity. It's your ability, your want to be to the next level. That's what I want God to do for me. I want God to take me from where I'm at and stretch me further. And you're sitting here today, you're saying, Pastor, I can't be stretched any further. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're going to be stretched and reach higher ground. What's going to happen when the new building is relaunched and the Calvary Church relaunches? It looks different. Feels different. And all of a sudden, people start walking in the door and they start looking at you and they say, thank you. I never would have showed up to a church ever, but I'm showing up today. What would have happened if we didn't listen to the words in Isaiah? It says, expand horizons, build bigger tents, fill it with people. We're not going to be a church that says we're satisfied with the status quo. You got the wrong guy. You're going to do greater things. Vision 2020 weekend is about doing greater things and being stretched, reaching higher ground, being a life changer. It's not my ability that counts most, but what God's going to do through me. I'm going to ask our music team to come forward. As we wrap it up today, you'll be hearing this in the weeks and months to come. We're going to be life changers. We're going to be stretched and we're going to be used to greater things in the weeks and months to come. We're already establishing ourselves and fulfilling the vision that I had in July of 2018. And we're remodeling and renovating, relocating, doing all these things, but people is still the forefront and the most important thing, and we're going to be stretched and used and reached to get to more people. And how are we going to do that, Pastor? In January of 2020, the Assemblies of God throughout the state of Ohio, we are an Assembly of God church, the largest Pentecostal movement in the world, is launching the biggest initiative in the history of the state of Ohio. And it's called the Ohio for Jesus campaign. I came into this church and I started this thing called Calvary for Kent. I really didn't know what the district office or our network office down in Columbus was really doing at the time. I started getting involved in that, and they asked me to get involved in that. And they said, we're going to reach Ohio for Jesus. Whatever it takes, however we got to do it. And I have this little piece of that here at Calvary Church, and so do you. And we call that Calvary for Canton. We're going to be stretched, and we're going to reach and do whatever we have to do to reach people in our area of influence. 25 miles to 30 miles that surround this church, we're going to go out and we're going to reach people. And we're going to bring them into a building that we prepared for them. A bigger tent, a bigger place, a bigger facility, massive, big, spread wide, stretched out, ready for them. Because that's what God said to do. This is not my vision. This is heaven's vision. All I'm asking us is to continue to walk in that, be stretched, and reach for that. And we're going to do that locally. The state of Ohio is going to do that throughout the state through all 295 or so churches of the Assemblies of God. And we're going to see more people saved, more people reached, more people stretched, more changes in Ohio than we have ever seen. But for this pastor and this church, we're going to do Calvary for Canton and believe that God's going to fill the house with new people. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to make sure that we continue to be a healthy church. Healthy church. We're moving to be healthier by giving more in missions. We're going to develop more leaders. And we're going to establish more missions partnerships. When I put this together and what the Assemblies of God did, and I look at this list and I say, wow. This church is doing great. And some people may not see that, but the pastor sure sees it. And now you're seeing it even more so today with a 40% increase in missions. More mission partnerships. Church, in 2020, God is asking us to enlarge our territory. And that requires us to be stretched and reaching to be life changers. There are people in this community that need us to be a life changer for them. And I'm not going to let them down. I ask you, church, to commit as people of the church to spread out and think big. Why? Because Isaiah said, spread out, think big, be stretched. And watch what God does. I'm asking you as a vision for next year to be life changers. Not just invite them, but connect with them. Get to know them. Pastor, they're not like me. That's right. To connect with them. To love them, even though they're not like you. I say, thank God they're not like me. We wouldn't want a bunch of bees running around. Stand with me, church. Today is the day. In a few short weeks, we're going to be worshiping next door, I'm believing, by Christmas. But I've asked them by December 1st. I'm praying that they make that deadline. And I'm not talking about our heating and cooling guys that are busy working for us and doing a whole lot more than I ever thought they would be doing. But I'm talking about the contractors and pounding new stakes and enlarging the tent. Because God told me to do that through that scripture. And as the music team starts to play, if you're committed like I am committed, pound more stakes, spread open the tent, think big, I want you to run to the altar, raise your hands and say, God, I am in. Stretch me and use me and reach me and do whatever you have to do. This is your day. Let's sing together. Worthy.